Troya, I got to talk about how hydration is very important. I learned this recently. Hydration's not just for like running marathons and exercising and that. You need to be hydrated daily. It's daily maintenance, right? So if you're going to the airport or standing on the sidelines of your kid's soccer game in the hot sun, if you're on back-to-back conference calls, it doesn't matter, right? Proper functional hydration is essential. And Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Their hydration multiplier is the one product that you're missing in your daily life. Well, maybe not you, Toria.
It's true. I actually use Liquid IV. I've used it for probably almost 2 years now. It comes in so many yummy flavors. It's a little powder that you put in the water you're already going to drink. It comes in strawberry, lemonade, grape, lemon lime, pina colada, watermelon, so much more. It makes you feel so much better, so much faster when you need to hydrate.
And with just one stick of this stuff, you hydrate real life 2 times faster than water alone. So just quit wasting your time with water. It's for losers. It's a loser's game. Plus, you get essential vitamins like B3, B5, B6, B12, vitamin C, 3 times the electrolytes of any leading sport drink, made with quality ingredients, non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, soy. Plus, this company, they want equitable access to clean and abundant water for everybody. And to date, Liquid IV has donated over 39 million servings in 50 plus countries around the world. So, Toria, how do we get this stuff?
So it's real people, real flavors, real hydration. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use your code OhMrChefPod at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code OhMrChefPod at liquidiv.com.
Use it now.
The Flushing Girl from Flushing. The nanny named Fran.
Oh, Mr. Sheffield.
Meet Miss Fine.
Hello. Welcome to another episode. Jesus. I gotta calm down. Welcome to another episode of Oh, Mr. Sheffield, podcast about The Nanny, a hit sitcom from the 90s starring Fran Drescher. I am Sean DePasquale here with
Toria Sheffield.
That's right. And this week we are here to talk about season 6, episode 16. Uh-huh. You thought I wasn't going to do it. The Producers. This one is written by a whole bunch of people. A story by Rick Shaw, Michael Dow, and Chandler Evans, with a teleplay by Rich Shaw. And this is the one wherein some big stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. Fran and Niles produce a play together.
But why, Toria?
Because
yes,
Niles finally admits his love for Cece Babcock, yes! And he wants to do something that will impress her.
Finally,
we've got so much canon. This, you know, we just met Morty last week.
Yeah, Niles they're really wrapping things up.
Oh, it's true. And so we start this episode. Fran's in the kitchen in the prettiest maternity dress, and she's starting to pop. Like they're starting to actually like. You know, put her in pregnancy costumes. And it's this dress. It's like very clingy and it's cream colored with red roses. And Niles comes in. He's super excited. And he's literally like, oh, what's the one thing that separates me from successful people? And Fran goes, success? That was very funny. And he goes, no, this. And he like shoves a script into her hand. And he's basically like, I have a friend who wrote a script and it's very good. And you know, I'm going to use this to become Mr. Sheffield's partner. And I'm going to finally leave all this domestic help work behind. And you know, he has this like grandiose plan. Mr. Sheffield walks in. Niles pitches him the idea, mm-hmm. and literally Maxwell, like not even looking up from his book while drinking coffee, he's just basically like, well, we are partners, old man. I run the business. You run the household. Why disrupt one of the most successful partnerships in history? And he like walks out. Mm-hmm. And my note was, what is Fran's role in their lives then? if he's basically like, Niles, you're my partner. And it works because like I, you know, make the money and you take care of the house. So yeah. I guess Fran truly is a woman of leisure.
She really is. I mean, the kids are all grown up. I mean, she's going to have 2 babies. So I guess her role is going to be like to be an actual mom now.
Yeah, I guess you're
but
right.
Like they got married at the perfect time because the kids are basically all grown up and she would have either been fired or, you know, or she had to get married and knocked up.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. And then.
Hey, also, only 7 episodes of the show left.
Yeah. Let's see, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Seven eps.
Seven eps. Here we go. Get ready. I'm going to put on my seatbelt.
Are you driving?
Yes, I record all these episodes on my way to my day job.
I told you, stop drinking and driving and podcasting.
You'll never stop me.
So then Mr. Sheffield walks out. Niles is completely dejected. And he reveals to Fran that he's actually doing all of this to impress a woman. And Fran is like, well you got to tell this woman, like whoever she is. And, you know, what woman wouldn't want to hear that someone's
I wrote in all caps, it's a CC episode.
Yes. Yep. They should. I remember when CC's dad came to town. But Fran's like, what woman wouldn't want to hear that? Cue CC walks in, waving a juice glass in Niles's face. And because she wants more juice. And Niles literally looks at Fran and like gives her a kind of like this one, which makes Fran realize like, oh my God, Niles is in love with Cece. And her mouth literally drops. And this is where I had the note. Have you noticed that Daniel Davies has kind of dropped his English accent?
Yes, entirely. Sometimes it's very wonky. It's the last couple episodes. There have been full on lines where he's like, I don't know. And you're like, oh.
Sometimes it's kind of, but it is very funny though. Like his delivery is very funny. He's kind of like uses a southern sort of like, you know what it reminds me of? When Hannibal Lecter imitates Jodie Foster.
Yes.
That's what it reminds me of. Like exactly.
But that's a real British guy pretending to be an American.
Did you sleep? With that, like, you know, he had that like flat, those flat A's.
They're just flat A's.
So then we go to the opening credits and we cut right back to Fran and Niles in the kitchen with Cece. And Cece like insults Fran as usual, but she doesn't realize that Maxwell has come in behind her. And he's basically like, this animosity has gone on too long. Yeah. Like, Cece, you need to make friends with my wife or else I'm going to dissolve this partnership.
Crazy, and, right? I was like, whoa.
I know, especially because like Fran's not bothered. So it doesn't.
No, it just came out of nowhere. He's just done. Dude was like, I am done.
Yes. He's also very patronizing to them later when they they're getting along. He acts like they're two little girls. He's like, look at you two getting along. Yeah. But so then Cece like chases after him and she's like, Maxwell, no, I was just funnying. And he's like, we're great friends, just like I was with your first wife, Sally.
And Fran like, goes, Sarah.
Well, then we're back with Fran and Niles alone again. And Fran is like still totally flabbergasted at this like big news. And she's like, so you're telling me all the times you put dishwater in her coffee and changed out her lip balm for glue? You were flirting? That is so ice cold. Did you get lip balm with glue?
And then Flynn and Niles goes, what? No good?
Yes. Yes.
Great.
And he basically is great like, stuff. You know what? He's like, I can't tell Cece that I love her until I have a successful career and a big income and a home of my own. Fran takes pity on him. And instead of being like, no, true love is more important than all those things. She's basically like, you're right. And I'm going to help. And she's like, we're going to produce the play together and I'm going to help you. And we're going to be like partners. And then he's like, oh, thank you. And he gives her the play to read. And she literally is like, I'll have Gracie read it. But so that's like the big A plot of this episode. Like, you know, they are going to co-produce so that hopefully Niles will become a big success and will, you know, land on his feet and can tell Cece his true feelings, which is all very sad that like, you know, men feel that way a lot of the time. Like I can't possibly propose until I have all these things in a row, you know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I don't think, I mean.
Listen, I'd never be married. You know what I mean? I'm still waiting for everything to fall in line.
Just wait till your first mil, cool million.
Thankfully, my wife is a very smart and progressive and independent woman. And, you know, early on when we met, she was like, listen, when I'm ready to get married, that's when we'll get married. And I went, okay, cool. <Yeah. laughs> She's like, I got a lot going on and I got to get through school. I got to finish, you know, law school, the whole thing. And then we'll do it. And I, you know, And I was like, tight. Yeah, take it out of my hands. I don't know. Yeah. You just tell me when you're ready. And, you know, and I got enough of a heads up of like, well, sometime after law school. So I was able to like plan, and now we're 6 months into a very happy marriage.
And we didn't talk about this on camera, but we're shooting for not 40 years because we don't think Sean can make it that long, but as long, long as possible.
I would like 40 years of marriage, but we'll see. We'll see how long I last.
I'm hopeful. Modern medicine.
That's right. That's what Elizabeth always says. She goes, medicine's always good, changing every day. Who knows what they'll be able to do?
My grandparents like smoked and ate like shit for years, and then they had some bypasses, and you know, they were around for a long time.
Yeah.
So then, okay, we cut back to the B plot. Cece goes to each of the Sheffield children, attempting to get them to help her, like, weasel back into Maxwell's good graces. But, like,
I love this scene so much.
She doesn't know any of their names. I think she even thinks Brain's name is Travis.
To Gracie, she goes, "Hey, kid."
Yeah. And then she goes, "Wait a second. You're the little one. You're not the one I want."
And then she knows Maggie's name. She goes, "Maggie." And Maggie's like, "Yeah." And she goes, "Oh, I got that right." And then Maggie's not the right one either. And then she goes, "Hey, Travis." And he's like, "What?" And she goes, "I got that one right too."
Yes. And he like very clearly, like the thing is, he's just like, whatever. Like, yeah, what do you need? Like, I'm not even going to correct you.
I'm bothered by you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then we cut to Mr. Sheffield's office. Niles and Fran are in there alone. And Niles is complaining that like no one will take their calls because they like just like aren't big names. They're nobodies. And they don't even have enough money to pay for messengers to send their script out. And I wrote, oh my God, remember when people used to messenger scripts?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What a different nightmare. World. You had to send a person to deliver a script because it was pre-email.
Yep.
And even like back then, like the amount of data that one script would have taken up, it would have taken like 3 hours to upload and download it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But so then Fran has an idea, which I thought this is like so bold and very like unsettling because it could really cause problems. But she's like, well, you know what? We'll just do what Maxwell and Cece do. And then he's like, what? And she goes, we'll use their names. And she's like, and we'll take money from the joint account.
I really like the line here from Niles where he goes, Bernadette Peters' agents wouldn't even take my call. They never heard of me. Me, Niles. Which is so funny. They never heard of me. Me, Niles.
Well,
he's flabbergasted.
I was like, oh my God, like. Like the idea of like pretending to be these two people to get meetings. And I was like, you know, this could really backfire.
Classic sitcom stuff.
And the kind of thing that like you could like definitely like someone would divorce you for.
Probably.
It's okay, so bad.
They pretend they do it. And as they're on hold, they get through immediately. Right. And then as they're on hold, Mr. Sheffield comes in. And there's a very funny exchange here. Where because they're pretending to be like they're like very proud of themselves when they get put on hold, and so they like really lean into like Fran pretending to be Cece sits on Niles' laps and is like, oh, Mr. Sheffield, I love you and I'm smarter than your wife or whatever. Yeah. Like they're making fun of them. And then Mr. Sheffield walks in and is like, why? Like, cause like Fran is sitting on Niles' lap. Niles is behind Mr. Sheffield's desk with a cigar in his mouth. And he just is like, what is going on? And they brilliantly play it off as like a bit. They're like, it's a bit. We got you. And then Niles even goes like, see, I told you he wouldn't think it's funny. And then like, they like walk out of the office. But I thought there was a real missed opportunity at the end of the scene. Cause like, what? Why didn't they ever have Bernadette Peters' agents come on the line?
Oh, I know, right?
They like forgot like, that they like set that up. And then like, I was waiting because I was like, oh no, they're going to get away with it, but they're going to forget. And right as they get out of the room, they're going to be like, this is Bernadette Peters or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And he could have been like, wrong number.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so then the next scene, we cut to this empty theater where Fran and Niles are now holding auditions.
Which this was like months later?
I mean, it could have been a few weeks later. Who knows? But okay. They've already clearly set up like a small theater space. They have auditions.
She's very pregnant. That's why, like, at the top of this episode, it was already a time jump because she's like suddenly very pregnant. And then here I was like, wait, how much time passed?
Especially did her stomach get bigger?
Oh, yeah. From the last episode to this one?
No. I mean, like, from the first scene to this scene.
No.
Oh, okay. No, I think once you pop, you kind of start to pop.
Oh, all right.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So they're there and they're about to have this actress come into audition, and Niles is literally like, oh, you know, I just wish we had gotten a bigger name than Madeline Porter, who, by the way, is like a made-up actress. I looked it up at first. I thought it might have been a real person. And Fran's like, why? She was a huge soap star. And he's like, yeah, but what has she been doing since? And then this actress comes in. It's actually really sad. She takes off her coat and she's wearing a waitress uniform because she just came from her job as a diner waitress. And I just wrote, this business is brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal. Brutal.
And then they are starting the audition process when someone comes up to them with this large envelope and they're like, are you Cece Babcock and Maxwell Sheffield? And they're like, yes. And she's like, you're being fined for $250,000 for theater code violations, and hands it to them and walks out.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, shit. This, like, secret endeavor may have just cost the company $250,000. And we got to them in the kitchen, and they're commiserating. And I'm like, they're weirdly not as worried about this as I thought they'd be. Like, and then Cece comes in, and it's really funny because Fran sort of pushes Niles to tell her how he feels. She's like, do it. So he just kind of stands up,
like, mumbles, so
oh, I love you. And then she's like, what? And he's like, nothing. And then walks out.
It was so funny. He like awkwardly walks past her and goes, I love you. And she goes, huh?
And then
so good.
Then Cece sits down next to Fran. And Cece's like trying her hardest to be nice because of this whole thing with Mr. Sheffield. And she's basically like, you know what, Nanny Fine, no matter what you say or do, I'm just going to treat you with courtesy and respect. Yeah. And Fran's like, no matter what I say or what I do. And then she's like, yes. And so Fran's basically like, yeah, we may have cost the company $250,000. And at first Cece is enraged, but then she's delighted because she's like, oh, as soon as Maxwell finds out that you did this, he's going to despise you as much as I do. And then in the next scene, Fran is literally shoving Brighton into Mr. Sheffield's office. And he's like, I don't want it. Fran, no, I don't want it. And she's like, do it. Just like I said.
He goes, Fran, I'm a bad actor.
Yes. And he turns around awkwardly and he looks at his dad and he's like, Dad, Fran's crying in the living room. I think you should go check on her. And then we cut to Fran, and she's literally running as fast as she can with her pregnant belly. She runs in a very funny way. Yeah. And then she plops herself down on the couch and she like starts to pretend to cry. And Mr. Sheffield walks in, and this was so good. She was so good. She was so funny. She like literally like, he's like, darling, what's wrong? And she's like, oh. She's literally like touched, like accentuating her pregnant belly, like looking as vulnerable and sad as possible. And he's like, is it something that I did? And she kind of like nods, like, uh-huh. And he's like, are you feeling neglected? Because I've been working on this sitcom so much. And she's like, uh-huh.
She really just lets him do all of the thing. He does it all for her. It's so great.
Yes. Yes. And then he's like, you know what? I think you need something for yourself. You know, you need a project, you know, and you should just go out and find a project, and I'm going to support you in anything that you do. And she's like, anything? And he's like, anything. And then we cut to Niles and the kids, who are like now sitting outside the house, and we just hear him scream, you did what? And then they're like, oh, I guess she told him. And then he screams, he's like, Niles, because she also clearly revealed that Niles was a part of this too. I was like, man, how are they gonna get out of this one? Like, this is very fireable.
Yes,
like
it
identity
is.
Identity fraud. But then
it's divorceable too, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's divorceable.
It's a crime.
It's fireable, it's criminal.
Yeah.
Well, we then cut to a while later. It is the after party of the big production. And it seems like they finished producing the play, even though it's revealed that it's partly because Maxwell had to go down to the theater, fix everything that they had been in violation of in order to avoid the fines. So it definitely was like they didn't get themselves out of that. Like, they definitely
he helped. Yeah. He swung his big producer dong around.
And I think about it, that's funny to me. Okay. So then, but like, it seems like things genuinely went really well. Like, they did a really good job.
Yeah. I love the ending to this storyline.
Oh, yeah. And then Fran goes over to Niles and she's like, Niles, look, Miss Babcock is over there. She's alone. You're a successful producer now. Go over there and tell her how you feel. And she's like, I'm your friend. I'm telling you this because I love you. Don't spend the rest of your life wondering. So Niles like takes a deep breath and he goes over to her. And of course, like, she insults him and laughs, and he's like about to insult her back. And he's like, well, marry me. And then it is to be continued. Another to be continued, TBC.
Another two-parter, baby. I love this episode, but the ending. And then the button, oh my God, forget it. That Yetta ending is like maybe the best thing the show has ever done.
Oh my God.
It's maybe the best thing ever. I So it's Yetta walks out on the empty stage and just like there's like a beat, and then all of a sudden she starts to like Fosse dance, like Bob
yes.
Fosse style dance. Like, she's in a chorus line.
Uh-huh.
And she does this whole extended dance sequence. And then Sylvia pops in and she goes, Ma, are you coming? And then they cut back to Yetta and she's like, looks all old and small again. And she's like, yeah, I'm coming.
And like,
then she
slowly
walks out and like hobbles out of the room. It was so good.
And it's definitely like a different, you know, it's an actual dancer dressed like Yetta. Like, it's definitely not the actress, but it was so funny. It was so good. And also, oh my God, Sylvia looked friggin' incredible.
Yeah, she did.
She had a red form-fitting dress, hourglass figure.
She lost a lot of weight. She looks great.
Goals. I want to age like that.
Goals. All right. Well, I think let's get into segments. And we're down to our last few segments themes. I didn't really theme them to the episodes, but every once in a while I got lucky. And this one is another one where I felt like, oh, this ended on like a mystery and a cliffhanger. So here we go. Segments. And now, segments.
Are we ready for segments?
We are so ready for segments. All right, so it's segment time. Segments.
Mm-hmm. Should we move on to our segments? Should we get into our segments? Segments. Sean and Victoria. I loved it.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Little right.
Carmen Sandiego.
Right? That's how that's exactly what it reminded me of.
Okay. Favorite lines and moments. My first thing, I literally wrote, honestly, Yetta dancing.
Yeah.
I don't know why I put honestly before that in my own notes. I did.
That's great. I really liked, I was just funning with her like I did with your first wife, Sally.
I love the idea of, we were just funning.
Yeah, it's so good. I also really liked that entire Cece, Gracie, Maggie, Brighton run was fantastic. All of that. Favorite moments, favorite lines right there.
Fran's performance when she's pretending to cry.
Yes. Well, and the line, "They never heard of me? Me, Niles."
And then I had a line that we didn't mention. When they're all at the after party, Val offers Yetta a donut. And Yetta picks up a donut and goes, "Are there any bones in these?" And then Val goes, "Maybe the bear claw." The idea that she thinks they're eating actual bear claws. I freaking love it.
Were those Krispy Kreme donuts?
Oh, you better believe it.
You know they were, baby.
Interesting that they didn't mention they were Krispy Kreme donuts.
Well, they don't have to mention. They we know.
I feel like you should, though, if it's a product placement.
Well, don't they show the wrapper on the outside of the box?
No, logo? I think they were on a tray in my
mind. Oh, well, then who knows? Maybe they weren't Krispy Kreme. Maybe they're cheating.
Oh, my God. I want a Krispy Kreme donut so bad right now.
All right. Well, we better wrap up this episode. What's next?
Yiddish?
I heard none.
I heard oi.
Oh, okay. Fair. I hear oi. I is like, I don't even hear that word anymore. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. It's like,
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, what's next?
Nanny trivia.
Nanny trivia. Let's go. Hit me with some trivia.
So Anne Gilbert, who of course plays Yetta, I looked into it. I was like, oh, maybe this dancing sequence is like a little nod to like maybe she was a dancer when she was young. Maybe she actually did Fosse.
Was she?
No, she didn't. Oh. She didn't really ever do any like serious dance work in her career. But she did study performing arts at Stanford, which would have been like in the 50s, which is just like so impressive, you know?
That's really impressive.
But like in general, like she's really more like a true like comedic actress, you know?
In the 50s, a lady in college in the 50s? What?
I wish we could go back. No. And then the Fran or the Cece or the whoever. Who are you?
Ooh, who was I? Come on, you know who I was. I was Yetta dancing my heart out to some Bob Fosse. I was actually in a chorus line.
Oh, yeah. Who are you?
I was in it. I was just one of the ensemble. I didn't have a cool role. I just was there.
I felt like probably.
I sang tits and ass.
Wow, Fosse. Really dirty in a lot of ways.
Just yeah.
Dirty man. But so, everyone should watch the movie Fosse with the sheriff from Jaws.
Yeah.
Great movie. So
watch Fosse with your fussy out.
Stop it. God, you're just making me laugh today because I think I'm just in a good mood. So
all right, well, great. Oh, don't give me credit for being funny. It's just because you're in a good mood. Tight. I'll take it.
I have more patience for your bullshit. No, but the Fran or the Cece, I think I was the Niles. I think I...
Because you suck on stage?
That was last episode. No, because... But right. I do suck on stage. I'm not a performer. But I do... think that I definitely have the syndrome of like I can't do this until I have that done, you know. And it's really hard to like deprogram yourself from that.
Interesting. I mean, that stuff's like not healthy. I mean, I don't know where you got yours from, but mine definitely was from like the way I was raised. Like my mom is very, even now, is still like, you know, you can't do this until this is done, or like you know. And it's like now as adults, my sisters and I will be like, yes, you can, Mom. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Things don't work like that. Like, so, but it is a hard thing to deprogram yourself out of. And if you're having a hard time with that, you can reach out to us at Oh Mr. Chef Pod on Instagram or Twitter and tell Toria all about your problems and your issues. And maybe you guys will bond and become best friends.
I need a best friend.
Yeah. We know.
My current best friend is about to have a baby, so she's going to have a new best friend, the baby.
That's right, a child.
Yeah.
She's going to have a new child to take care of and have no more time for you.
Yeah, no, we literally joke that she's going to have to have special Toria days where she gives me special attention.
Oh, boy. All right, well, so clearly you want to reach out. We do appreciate everybody listening. You can also email us at omrsheffieldpodcast@gmail.com. omrchefpod.redbubble.com for stuff. Thank you to the people who have been buying stuff. That's really neat. And I think that's about it. We'll see you next week. For now, Toria.
Bye. Goodbye.
And now, segments.
Are we ready for segments?
We are so ready for segments. All right, so it's segment time. Segments.
Mm-hmm. Should we move on to our segments? Should we get into our segments? Segments. Sean and Tori.